Good morning, everyone, and it is a delight to be together, and it's a delight to take my mask off to be able to speak to you. It's good to be here. I've been praying about what God would want us to be focusing on today for the sermon, and I am so inspired by what he revealed to me because it's exactly what I think is going to be one of the biggest blessings that we can possibly ask for, and that is, what is fellowship? Because a lot of us have an idea that fellowship means just coming to church. And a lot of us have our own ideas about this and that, but why not let the Word of God tell us what this fellowship is that He wants us to enjoy? So let's begin with prayer, first of all, and just ask God to speak to us and to reveal to us what He means by fellowship. Our Father in heaven, thank you very much that you are our best friend, that you are God. You've been God forever, and we look forward to being with you and being a part of your family forever and ever and ever. And this is such an honor. What a privilege, the grace that you've extended to us as your body, the church. We are blown away. We are overwhelmed and deeply grateful, Father, for the way that you love us. And so we just come to you to ask you to give us your wisdom, your insight, and help us to have open minds and receptive hearts so that everything that we hear from your word today will transform our outlook and our actions. We ask you to live within us and speak through us so that everything we do will be done to your glory and your honor. And we ask this and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you notice in Acts chapter 2, that's where the New Testament church began. And if you'll open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 and notice verse 42. Now, we covered this in a previous sermon, but we were focusing on worship and what that is all about. But here we're going to be focusing on the second item. After worship is listed, the second item in verse 42 is fellowship. And fellowship, it says, these four things were very important that the apostles were devoted to. We need to understand what devoted to is. We'll come to that. And to the breaking of bread, because that is what we do. Every month we focus on the breaking of bread representing the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We drink the wine or the grape juice and so on. And this is something that Jesus Christ has commanded us to do, to be reminding ourselves of what Jesus did so we don't forget that and let it go in one ear and out the other when we talk about communion. We are blessed to have the name of our church include communion, Grace Communion International. So communion is very important, the breaking of bread or communion, and to prayer, because the last shall be first and the first shall be last. The last here is prayer. That's the first thing that should come to our minds. But it's mentioned last so that we will not forget it, maybe. But the Greek word for fellowship is one that you've probably heard before, koinonia, or you may pronounce it differently. But that word has special meaning, and we need to understand what the Greeks were understanding when the word fellowship was being spoken. The word is koinonia, koinonia. I can't pronounce it, but if you can pronounce it, go for it. Koinonia. It means sharing. Sharing. Interesting. Having things in common and sharing. It's a common word in the New Testament. You see it all the time in the Apostle Paul was talking about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And he says, the bread which we break, is it not the communion, that's a koinonia, of the body of Christ? So we'll participate. And what we do is when we pass the grape juice and the wine around and the bread and so forth, we are sharing this together. This communion is sharing. And it's very important for us to understand this because we're going to break this up or break this out so that we can understand it and see how this applies to our daily life, not just a once a month occurrence when we have our particular communion service and so on. But the word koinonia, it's a sharing in the body. And this is the idea in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, fellowship was sharing, and they were devoted to sharing. See, everything that we have comes from God. He shares everything that he has, and he shares it with us, and we're going to become like God. So God wants us to learn how to share. And we're living in a society that does not like that. It likes to hoard. It likes to build wealth and become a billionaire or whatever. And it's all me. It's all about me, 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 rather than sharing. And this is what these disciples at the very beginning of the New Testament church were devoted to. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. And it also says the fellowship. That could be referring to the local congregation that they were in at that particular time, or fellowship. It's basically the same meaning, because it has to do with sharing with one another. Whoever you are encountering, especially, like it says, let us do good unto all men, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's another scripture. Let us do good. So we need to be doing good to one another. And so that's something that we need to understand a lot more deeply so that we can be devoted to this. And let's see how the New Testament church spelled this out, what it means to have all things in common, or to be in fellowship, or to be sharing with one another. This is going to be amplified in verses 44 and verses 45. All the believers were together and had everything in common. In other words, they were sharing everything. Now, you have to think about that for a while, because that can change our whole perspective. Because a lot of times, I know for me, I just thought fellowship was getting together for church and making sure that we're here and fellowshipping and enjoying each other's company. And that is definitely a part of it, but there's a lot more to it. Notice what it says in verse 45, selling their possessions. In other words, not being a hoarder of everything, but being willing to share and wanting to share what God has given to us, because that's the way God lives his life. Everything he has, he shares it. And God wants us to become like him. Now, there's lots and lots of different ways that we can share. We'll get into those as we go on. But there's a million different ways of sharing your life, your possessions, and what you do, and so forth. But the main thing is asking God to reveal to us what he wants us to do, so that we can truly be sharing the way God wants us to share. And so here in the very beginning of the New Testament church, they were selling their possessions. In other words, there's a lot of things, especially here in this United States. We have a million more things than we need, don't we? We have so many blessings that they're just overflowing. And God says, prove me now herewith that I'm not able to pour out a blessing upon you that you don't even have room to receive it. Well, that's what we have received in the body of Christ, in the church. We are blessed beyond belief. There's lots of things that you have that you can share. You can share your patience. We had an opportunity to share our patience together this morning. That is a possession because God gives it to us, doesn't it? If you don't have patience, it's probably because God didn't give it to you and you forgot to ask for it. You know, if you get all bent out of shape because things don't go the way that you want them to go, then you're not possessing God's patience. You've got your own, which is kind of cut short from time to time. But there's lots and lots of different ways that God wants us to share our possessions. So you can't sell your patience. So there is also referring to other things that you might have that you don't need. And there's lots of ways that you can be sharing with the body of Christ that you might not think about. And the only way that you're going to find out what people need is by talking with them. And that's another part of fellowship, and getting better acquainted and finding out what people's needs are. And it's a wonderful thing when people get together and share their blessings, because that creates an environment where other people just say, man, those people are amazing. They're always sharing and they're caring for each other. That's what the whole world is looking for. You know, the number one problem in the world today, according to this one article, but I wouldn't be surprised, but I read it. Biggest problem in the world today is loneliness. Now, we might think it's lack of food or lack of clothing or something else, but there are more people that are lonely because they need somebody to care for them. All you have to do is go to any care home and ask each one, when was the last time they were visited by a family member? You might be quite surprised. But this is something we can give to people. You can share your presence with people. And that can be presence, or it can be presents. Either one. But any of those things we can share. And this is a part of what God wants us to be like him. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 3. He says, we shall be like him. And now he's preparing us now through fellowship or sharing so that we can become like him. And so they devoted themselves to sharing with one another. Or becoming like God. Fellowship pervades this passage because these people did everything together. Notice as we go on how much they did. They worked in unity. They functioned in unity. And they devoted themselves to it. Now, when was the last time we thought about devoting ourselves to fellowship? When you think about it, it's good that we can bring certain words or certain concepts or certain lessons or messages that God wants us to focus on. So we bring it into clear focus and we can magnify that so that it can become a major blessing to us. Because I will tell you this, if you want to be really, really happy, share just fellowship, fellowship. That will produce more happiness in you than anything you can possibly imagine, except number one, and that's worshiping God. Because that's the second thing, it's fellowship. Because God says, what are the two great commandments in the Bible? Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, being, and so forth. And your neighbor is yourself. And so there it is. And if you want to be really happy, make sure that you are keeping God happy with the fact that you are worshiping him and focusing upon him. Because we need to have that fellowship with him first. Otherwise, our fellowship with others is going to be wrongly motivated. It'll be motivated out of selfishness for what we can get out of it rather than to the glory of God. But God wants us to be devoted to it because there's reasons for it. Now, this is an interesting. I read this story and I'd like to share it with you. I'd like to just read it here. Several years ago, studies were conducted among former American prisoners of war to determine what methods used by the enemy had been most effective in breaking their spirit. This will be interesting. The findings revealed that they did not break down from physical deprivation. You'd think that would be number one. Or torture, even torture, didn't get through to them as quickly as they did from solitary confinement, being all alone. No connection with anybody they knew. Or from disrupted friendships caused by frequent changing of personnel. So they had nobody to connect with that they knew or they could trust. Attempts to get the prisoners divided in their attitudes toward one another proved to be the most successful method of discouraging them. If you're wondering where discouragement comes from, it might be coming because we don't have enough fellowship. Enough sharing so that we're sharing with one another. When you're sharing, that's God's way of giving us happiness because that's just God's nature. And that's what he does. He gives rain upon the just and the unjust, and he is always sharing everything that he has. It was further learned that the soldiers were not sustained primarily by faith in their country or by the rightness of the cause for which they fought. They drew their greatest strength from the close attachments they had formed to the small military units to which they belong. That interesting. We might be kind of like a small military unit. And that really made a big difference. So now this is just a worldly example, but it does help us to understand that God knows what he's doing. He knows there's a reason why he wants us to fellowship or to share our blessings and share our possessions and share our lives and share our time. And everything that we have, just share it in every way you possibly can. And that is going to be worth its weight in gold. So the one thing that we do need in it above that is dependence upon God or worship, because that takes precedent. That trumps everything, because without him, like Jesus said in John 5 and verse 30, he says, without God, he says, I can do nothing, because he was totally dependent on that first category, which is worshiping God or his father and so on. So why is so much made of this, or why is this such a big deal? Because we need to realize that we need each other in order to grow spiritually. If you're a hermit and you just stay by yourself, you're not going to be growing spiritually, because fellowship is how we grow. It's how we begin to put into action the things that God puts in our heart. If he's going to be working in us and through us as his instruments, he's going to be putting his character and his nature, which is what he does all the time. He's always giving and sharing in everything that he does. And this is more brought out throughout the entire New Testament than anything. We're told to love one another as we have been loved. And what was this love of God? It's called agape. It's an outgoing concern. There we go again. It's a sharing where you have a real concern. And we'll see that. We're going to bring out four different areas here very shortly. But there are consequences when we do these things. And this is brought out in God's word too, because it's not always easy unless you let Jesus Christ do it in and through you. Because what was the consequence of the love Jesus had? He got crucified. But you know, the apostle Paul says the same thing in Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live through the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for us. So we also need to be crucifying ourselves. In other words, saying no to self, where I want to do this and I want to do that. And it's all about me. And I, that's all it is. It's all about me. And God wants us to, it to be all about him and all about giving and sharing, so that we're loving others as much as we love ourselves. And that's a major breakthrough, because most people are not thinking of other people as much as they think about themselves. It's all about acquiring wealth or acquiring more possessions so that you look good, get the fanciest car, so that you are the number one person on the block or whatever. But God wants us to be thinking about others to the same degree that we think about ourselves. That's a whole different mindset. We have to ask God to give us that, because that is not natural. It's just not natural. And that is a gift from God when we ask him to love others as we have been loved by God. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. So when you begin sharing and serving, there's going to be a certain amount of enduring, but that is good. It's not bad. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And so when we are sharing and giving and helping other people, you're going to have to lay down your life like Jesus did. But remember what he says in John 15, 13. He says, greater love has no man than this, than he lays down his life for his friend. And this is what I see in the church, but God wants us to grow in grace and in knowledge. And this is something that God wants us to become more and more and more just like him. Romans 12:10 says, also the apostle Paul says, be devoted to one another. Now, I've read that many, many times, but I haven't thought of it in this context. Be devoted one to another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. That's even more than yourself. Or better still yet, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And look what Jesus did. He came to this earth and he gave his life and he gave the lifestyle that he had. He was just always giving. He was feeding the multitudes. I mean, the list is endless. Jesus is honored by almost all religions as being like a saint. I mean, because that's what he did. He was well known for that. He was always sharing and giving and healing and blessing and serving and so forth. And this is what we need to ask God to just live within us so that we can have the same kind of happiness. Like it says, who for the joy that is before him endured the cross, despising the shame. In other words, not letting the shame or the embarrassment of being a slave disparage you in any way or discourage you in any way. Because being a slave to God is a phenomenal blessing, because he is the one that rewards us with happiness, joy, peace, love, patience, and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So we are a family. We are a close-knit family. And that is, I mean, I tell people all the time, I absolutely love our church. I've told that at least 1,000 times. You know, when they say, well, what church are you? I just love our church because we have an intimacy there, a closeness of, it's like family. You just feel at home. And this is a phenomenal blessing that we have, and we can share that with others. But we need to help others see by our example that Christianity is not a sole occupation. It's not something that you do on your own without other people being involved, because God wants us to share our lives with other people, especially to those of the household of faith. So here are the four things that I'd like us to see here. First of all, in Acts chapter 2, these four things that are mentioned, they were devoted to fellowship. But what they did it all the time. And it says every day. I mean, can you imagine that? Every day they were in the temple fellowshipping. I thought they had to go to work. Well, I mean, everybody has to work and so on. You normally work 8 hours a day. You've still got 16 more hours that you got to have another 8 to sleep, but you got the other 8 hours. Those other 8 hours can be used to share and to call and to connect and to serve and to help. One of the biggest blessings you can possibly give to somebody is caring. But that's another point coming up here. But this was a lifestyle. They did it all the time. God wants our lives to be a lifestyle of sharing. And if we can just remember this one thing from this sermon, and that is fellowship is sharing. It's not just meeting. It's sharing. That's the meaning. Koinonia is sharing. It's not just meeting together. And I believe that's the point that God wants us to understand, because he wants us. He says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health and have every blessing possible. God wants to bless us beyond belief. And he's telling us here today that fellowship will do that. It'll do wonders for any human being that begins to make sharing their lifestyle. So we are brothers and sisters, and it says in verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, because they were just together. Now today, we don't live in the same environment. When they were in Jerusalem or they were in their particular locality, it would probably have been within a 2-mile radius. We're about a 20-mile radius for most of us. But God has blessed us with a royal tool. It's called a telephone, you know, and that is one way. It doesn't take that much. You don't even have to walk anywhere except to the phone, or just take it out of your pocket and give somebody a call. You know, somebody that you ask God to reveal to you. Who is it? Even ask God for me. I have to keep asking God for a better memory. And that way I will remember the things that have been mentioned, or I read in the prayer requests and so forth, so that we know who would really appreciate a call. And then when you call, all you need to do is just say, how are things going? And let them talk. Because a lot of times people just don't have anybody to talk to. Or if they do talk to somebody, they don't want to listen, whoever they're talking to, because they've heard it enough. And people just need to know that this is important, that they are important to us. Now, the second thing, they shared their lives together. They were caring. When you share, something rhymes with share, and it's called care. And it's probably as good a synonym for sharing that you can possibly come up with. but they shared everything together. And remember the saying, and this is a very good saying, even though it's not in the Bible, but it says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That needs to be the goal, is to ask God to give us that kind of care that makes share come alive. Then people know you really care about them. And that's something we have to ask God for every day, because otherwise our human nature defaults to doing our own thing and just doing what we want to do. And that's so easy to fall into that category. Verse 44 says, all the believers were together, had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he has need. If that is a struggle, all we have to do is just ask God to give us that kind of heart, because our human nature does not have that kind of heart. Now, the billionaires and the millionaires, they will give all sorts of things, but you notice it ends up in the news. And that was their reward. God just wants us to do this from the heart, expecting nothing in return. Expect nothing in return, because you are the instrument of God. He is the one that's doing the giving through us, because everything we have, he gave to us. And so this is helpful to look at it truthfully, instead of the way I remember talking to one relative, and they said, because we were having a prayer and thanking God for something that had happened and so on. He said, and then after the prayer, he says, I just want you to know that God didn't give that to this person. I did, you know, but that particular person is having all sorts of problems, because that's what Proverbs says happens when you want all the glory and the credit and everything else. It all comes back to bite you somewhere you don't want to be bitten. So this sharing is so important that coincides with caring. Caring was very important for the infant church in a world that was very hostile to it, because you know what was going on in the Roman Empire during the days of Jesus Christ. They could do anything to you they wanted to do. They could, well, look what they did to Jesus. You know, the Pilate said, you know, I can't find anything wrong with him, so just go out there and whip him and let him go. Well, why whip him? But that was just the norm. Just whip them up. You know, they weren't whipping up ice cream. They were whipping people's back and ripping skin off their back. But anyway, we can be very thankful that we live in an environment that doesn't include that. And we can begin focusing on what caring is all about for those who are lonely or lost or feeling abandoned or just whatever it might be, or someone who is sick or going through COVID or whatever. There's so many different things that we can care about. Number three, they made disciples. This was including sharing, but this is what they were doing all the time. When they were meeting together, what normally happens when you meet together? People's names come up. Well, what do you know about this particular person? How are they doing? And so forth. And then before you know it, you can be praying together about somebody or inviting them to be included, because what they were doing was doing outreach. We would call it outreach today, but God wants us to reach out beyond our parameters and even outside of our own family and to serve there as well, and look for ways to provide needs for individuals who are outside the body of Jesus Christ. Because that way, because they were meeting in the temple courts and there were lots of people there that were not a part of their particular group or what have you. So they were making disciples because this is what God commands. Remember what Jesus said just before he ascended back to his Father. We should remember the last thing that was on his mind before he took off and started floating up in the air. He said, go and make disciples. That's the mission God has given to us. And we do that by worshiping and asking God to show us who he's working with. Secondly, by fellowshipping with or sharing with other individuals that don't know Jesus Christ, inviting them to participate in something. What I've started doing is inviting my neighbors to go golfing. So I have an opportunity, and now they're eating it up. They're even taking their kids golfing. But we have this little 9-hole, 3-par course. And it only takes an hour, but it's great for fellowship time. And I get my exercise in because I'm sick and tired of walking up that mountain. Find whatever way it is to just be connected with your neighbors and get connected with other individuals so that you can share your life with them. And these are things that we can begin thinking about what fellowship really means and why it's number two on the docket here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. This fellowship is very, very important. And let's take a look at the fourth one, is they met together in one another's home. And so this is another opportunity because people appreciate that, to have a personal invitation into our homes. And then you have an opportunity to really get to know one another over a little bit of food or whatever. Or if it's summertime, which is past now, but I mean, you can just say, well, I'll pick up some lunch and we can meet at the park and we can just go walk the dogs if you got dogs or cats or whatever. But anyway, to just be connected and to share. And you could pick up some food, and that way it still can be hospitality if your home is not available for that kind of fellowship. But these are things that we need to be thinking about, and it is priceless to me to just see how God has revealed to me personally what this fellowship is. I want more of that than ever before. I've had a taste of that, but the sky is the limit on how we can really begin to share with far more people than we ever have before, and just ask God to open our eyes to see what he wants us to do so that we can benefit by serving God and doing for God exactly what he wants us to do for him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you very much that you've given us your word. Your word is priceless, and you're constantly revealing to us things that we need to know more deeply. We want to grow in grace and in knowledge of you and how you want us to be just like you. And so we just ask you to open our eyes and hearts to understand more fully how we can fellowship and share our lives and everything that we have with others so that we can become just like you are, God. Thank you for being so good to us, and thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us so that we can be with you forever and ever and have all our sins forgiven. And we praise you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.